Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Talking Data Podcast. I'm Ed Burns, Senior News Writer for Search Business Analytics, and today I'm joined by special guest Dan Wetherill. He's an associate principal at sales and marketing firm ZS, and he recently worked on an Economist Intelligence survey of analytics adoption and use among businesses. It's titled Broken Links: Why Analytics Investments Have Yet to Pay Off. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Ed. Good to be with you.
So one of the things that really stood out to me about the report was it looked like a lot of businesses are not really using analytics very effectively and not really making great use of their investments. Only 2% said that analytics has had a broad positive impact, even though 70% called analytics very or extremely important. Also stood out to me that integration seems pretty low. Only 8% said that they've integrated their cloud big data infrastructure investment into their analytics platform. And so it sounds like the benefit is not really paying off for a lot of people. Why do you think that is?
So that's a great question. And if you don't mind, I might just try to provide a little bit of context about the nature of the study and sort of why we partnered with The Economist on this.
Sure.
Just to provide some context. So as a company that sort of focuses exclusively is in sort of consulting and sales and marketing, we touch a lot of work in data and analytics across different industry sectors. And one of the things as we embarked on this journey that we asked ourselves was, where do companies fall on the maturity curve? The other part that we were trying to understand is that with the as a byproduct of this explosion of data, one of the things that we were seeing is that it was becoming increasingly challenging and also important for many organizations to keep up with their customers in terms of understanding their changing needs. And that seemed to be, to us, in our experience, more of a journey than something that was happening. There were companies had an aspiration towards a bar that might be common, but they weren't always hitting the mark that they expected to right away. So we started asking the question of, you know, what that looked like. And the reason for the title of the study was really that we did see a bunch of broken links in the way that they were this maturity was getting realized. And they fell into three different dimensions, which I'll just list briefly, which is sort of organizational factors, which was really culture, the way that different departments work together, the way that they connect different functions and capabilities across the organizations and collaborate. Another was process-related, which was around the analytics value chain, as well as the platforms that they had in place, you know, the big data, cloud-based infrastructure, their supplier relationships, and all their approach to sort of the analytic plumbing and infrastructure that was in place. So those were the three main dimensions that came out, and I could certainly provide more detail if helpful on those dimensions.
Yeah, but so if you could maybe go a little bit deeper into why it seemed like a lot of respondents said that they weren't necessarily getting the value out of their investments that we often hear about when we talk about analytics adoption.
Sure. Okay. So let me give you a couple of examples. So I think in the organizational dimension, one of the things we've heard a lot about is the importance of creating a data science capability, an advanced analytics capability, right? And also creating a data-driven culture. But one of the things that we started to understand from some of the interviews and the research was that, in fact, while many companies agree that that's the goal, and they want to get past gut instinct to a data-driven culture, one of the challenges is in real-time decision-making. So sometimes when a business executive is sitting down and trying to make a decision, they're forced to make a gut instinct decision because they may not have the information at the time they need it. Another important element of that was certainly that separated leaders and laggards. And what we saw, leaders were more able to also collaborate across these different sort of functional areas, sort of the folks that are in charge of B&L responsibility, business line executive, and an analytics center of excellence or a commercial operations kind of a capability. So that collaboration between those two was incredibly important to realize the value of the analytics that was being done. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the areas, the organizational elements. I'll go, you know, give you one more just to highlight it, was the analytics value chain. One of the things that we saw in the research relates to how the front and the back ends of the value chain are some of the biggest pain points that different respondents consistently cited. About 40 to 50% of all the respondents, and this was consistent across industries, cited that they had challenges with areas in the front end of the value chain, such as problem framing and problem definition and solution design, and on the back end, which was sort of action change management, sort of taking the synthesized results all the way back into the sort of fabric of the business. So those front and back ends seem to be the pain points. It seems that organizations were pretty consistent in the way they were executing in the very middle of the value chain, but when they try to bring it back all the way to the customer, it's not always reaching the final mark.
Mm-hmm. Another part of the report that jumped out to me was early on, it sort of makes a differentiation between companies that work smart compared to those that simply invest more in analytics. And so when you look at what makes for a successful company when it comes to analytics, what kind of things are the top companies doing beyond just investing more?
One lever that we saw as an example of a pretty big differentiator is in the area of cloud-based big data infrastructure. And many organizations, in fact, two-thirds are, you know, either piloting or have already started down this journey of a cloud-based big data infrastructure. And yet, less than 10% have connected this with their analytics capabilities. And I think that the larger point is that many companies are investing in the plumbing, in the infrastructure, and yet they may not have sort of turned on all the connectors that would allow them to pull this through to the organization. And so what was a bit sobering was that when we looked at the impact many organizations have seen so far, we saw that many only 20% were getting more transformational results. And, you know, like on the order of 40%, we're getting evolution kind of incremental results, or another 40%, we're getting almost limited results, sort of low value so far. Now, of course, some of that is due to just the natural time progression. They're just starting down that path, and in time, they probably will start to get better results. But we think that it was fairly striking that, you know, with some of those large investments in big data, that only 10% or so had actually started to connect that with the capability for analytics.
Mm-hmm. One thing you started to touch on a little bit earlier, but I'd like to go a little deeper into, is the relationship between executives using data to make their decisions and also the speed at which data is delivered to them. I thought that it was pretty encouraging in the report that 76% of respondents said that their executives use data rather than just their gut instinct to make decisions. But I also noticed that one factor in an executive's ability to use data is just the speed at which they get their hands on the data. And only 42% said that the speed at which they produce analyses was good or very good. So what can businesses do to speed up the time it takes to deliver analyses to executives?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I'll call out at least two major comments. One would be around just the approach to being proactive versus reactive. So we found that as many as about half of all organizations report that they are currently being reactive in their analytics programs, despite the fact that they agree that it's very important to invest in them and they agree that analytics is critical to competitive advantage, we're still seeing that there's a maturity curve in the way that some organizations are able to realize that sort of proactivity and you know, sort of innovation. And a couple areas where they're not achieving the mark, it seems, at least some organizations are setting, is in staying abreast of emerging innovations and in serving as a proactive advisor. I think this really comes back to the comment that we made earlier about absorbing the analytics into the fabric of the business and being able to translate that analytics finding into meaningful insight and impact all the way to the customer. The other thing I'll mention in regards to kind of upgrading, you know, you mentioned kind of gut decisions and getting beyond it and sort of being more proactive, is many organizations are also working to upgrade their analytics talent programs. And I think they see this as a way to better integrate consulting and business acumen skills together with some of the analytics and sort of information technology skills that are so essential and core to the role.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, amid all of the hype that we always hear around big data, it's always good to get a sort of a clear-eyed reality check like this. So thank you very much, Dan, for taking the time to take us through your report and give us that reality check.
Great. No, thanks so much for having us, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this edition of the Talking Data Podcast.